It's time for JT the Brick.
Make me a shirt that says, the Denver Broncos have never beat the Las Vegas Raiders. We're 8-0 against them. We've been blowing out the donkeys 8 in a row. I repeat, 8 in a row, 4 seasons of firing their coaches. They got fired, Nathaniel Hackett, because they lost to the Raiders. By the way, that's true. They can't handle losing to the Raiders. You can't beat the Raiders, you're fired. And that goes for you, Sean Payton.
JT the Brick.
I'll say this now, and you can clip it and put it on another show. The Las Vegas Raiders need to win 3 out of 4 games combined against the Chargers and Denver. Does that make sense? The second best roster is the Raiders. By a long shot over Denver, I'm fighting off the donkey fans that think they have the greatest coach. Sean Payton sat on that couch for a year. Must have had 1 lunch and 2 dinners, and now everybody in the Fox lot's a fan of Sean Payton. The Denver Broncos have never beat the Las Vegas Raiders. By the way, that's true.
And now,
then that goes for you, Sean Payton.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT, hope you had a great weekend. We're back on the flagship of the Silver and Black. This is Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM, and on that beautiful Raiders mobile app, which we need. We need that mobile app to have a big, big radio show. As it's growing and it's growing and you're streaming it, we appreciate it. And again, I hope you had a great weekend. No matter where you are, we have listeners all over the world, from Brazil to Australia to London, right? Crusader Raider listens every day in London. So we're excited to be on the radio whenever you can hear us. And plus, we're streaming live on YouTube, and we're building that up. And a big announcement coming up with this radio show and YouTube pretty quickly here. That's why I'm trying to build this thing slowly. I had nothing a couple months ago. Now we got something, and maybe it'll get bigger and bigger. Tonight's my Double Dip Monday. I'll be at Wynn from 4 to 7 p.m. nationally on Sirius XM Channel 82. And I thought it was a pretty good weekend in sports. Not a lot of Raider talk. Not a lot of Raider talk, but I found some stuff today. You know, I think I'm the best in the world. I think I'm the best in the world when it comes to finding anti-Raider propaganda. Matter of fact, I know I'm the best in the world. There's no one even close to me in finding anti-Raider propaganda because I search for it. And a lot of times you hand it to me on my lap. And I'll go take a look at it, and I'll say, all right, this is worthy of the show. This isn't worthy of the show. And a lot of my Raider propaganda also comes from other teams getting built up for no apparent reason. And when that happens, that's what jumps out at me, and I say, whoa, 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 whoa. I can understand why they're not talking about the Raiders. They don't know the roster. They're just not familiar with the Raiders yet. They don't know. They don't know who Marcus Epps is. They don't understand Luke Masterson. They don't know we got the big Oregon center now can play guard. They don't know any of this. They're not supposed to know any of this. All they know about is Travis Kelce dancing in London on stage with Taylor Swift. Everybody knows about that, and how could you not? They're in London, and there's Tom Cruise, John Bon Jovi, and Bobby Sir Paul McCartney. Is at the Taylor Swift concert, which isn't a big deal. Taylor Swift is a global icon. But when Travis Kelce puts on a tuxedo and comes out there and dances with his girlfriend, then that becomes a Chiefs story, which is under the umbrella of the NFL. And it's bringing added revenue to the arch rival of the Raiders. Remember, Kansas City was never the rival of the Raiders. They were terrible for 50 years. For 50 years, and they never should have had Super Bowl IV. The Raiders swept them that year. Wow, Raiders should have never given them the door for Super Bowl IV, and then they win Super Bowl 54, and they were never any good. Kind of like the Patriots. The Patriots sucked your entire life too, and then all of a sudden they got great, not good. Same exact formula. I've covered the entire run of the Patriots and the entire run of the dynasty of the Chiefs. So I'm very prepared on those two topics because I've lived it, and I don't root for the Patriots or the Chiefs. I pull for you and all of us in the Raider Nation. I'm a season ticket holder going on year 27. I've been down this road before. So as we look at all this, I told one of our guys here, one of my dear friends in the building, I go, this is the time of year that I don't want to do Raiders talk. I don't. I don't think there's much of it. I don't think there's much good Raider talk other than stuff that makes up junk. And believe me, this is for all the young aspiring broadcasters. And I hope some of you who listen to me or watch me at least respect the fact I've been doing this a long time, longer than most people. I can tell you the number one problem for radio hosts is talking about things when they shouldn't be talking about things. Talking about things when there's nothing to talk about or there's no real teeth to the topic, that's when they get in trouble. They start going off the reservation and they start making stuff up and they start talking about this or that, and there's no need to. They don't need to. This is not the show of the practice squad. This is the show of the team of the ages, the team of the decades, as we like to call them, the Raiders. And when I got good Raiders content, I lead with it. When I don't, sorry. This time of year, it's the summer. I'll talk about concerts. I'll talk about everything, but I won't waste your time ranking soft drinks and food, because that's what a lot of Bobby the Fill-In hosts do nowadays. Some guy wants to take vacation like me, or someone wants to take vacation like Mad Dog Russo. I fill in, but the other guys want to do ballpark food. They want to do your top 10 this, your top 10 that, and that's the focus of the monologue, brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue. 5 to 7, midnight to 2, the best happy hour in town. No debate on that. Head on out to PTs to watch the Stanley Cup tonight. Matter of fact, Bobby, clip this for our partner, Golden Entertainment, as we're live on YouTube and Raider Nation Radio. Tonight is one of the many perfect nights to go to PTs, because you can walk in during Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. The game starts at 5. Happy hour starts at 5. Half-price drinks, food. PTs is a proud partner of our Golden Knights. And let me begin by saying, we are still the Stanley Cup champs until later on tonight. We still are the owners of the cup for a few more hours. How the hell did we not get back to the Stanley Cup final? Florida looks like they are choking mightily. Oh my God, are they choking. And McJesus, and I'm a practicing Catholic, so I'll take that back. Connor McDavid could have, he's going to go down in history on the Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore is 4, not 5. There's 4 presidents on Mount Rushmore. That's it, not 5. And Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux could never be removed from Mount Rushmore. You can't move them. Right, like Willie Mays. Remember the other day when Willie Mays died? I said you can't remove Babe Ruth, Henry Aaron, and Willie Mays. They have to stay on the Mount Rushmore the rest of your life and your grandkids' life. Can't move them. In hockey, you could say the same thing. It's Gretzky and Lemieux. Now, if you want to take more, Bobby and I talked about it. Bobby Orr, the legendary Boston Bruin. I think you got to put him on the Mount Rushmore. Right, but then you get Larry Robinson. You get goalies. How about goaltenders over the decades, right? Guy Lafleur. Mike Bossy, whoever your fourth is, I don't know. It's up to you. But Connor McDavid, if he comes back and wins this game tonight, 4 in a row to do this, the first time in the modern era, we got to go back to the 40s, it will put him on the fast track. I don't think he's ever going to catch Gretzky in regards to points. I don't. I could be wrong. I don't think he will. But I think McDavid will have one of the greatest iconic wins in sports history. Identical to the 2004 Red Sox, what they did to my Yankees. And that pains me to say it, because I'm a Yankee fan, so I experienced the biggest choke job in baseball history, and it happened to my Yankees. The biggest choke job in baseball history should have happened to the Rays, or the Rangers, or the Brewers. No, it happened to the Yankees. 27 titles, and they're known for the biggest choke. They were up 3-0, and oh, nothing. They had Mariano Rivera, Derek Jeter. It's not like they had a bunch of bums. The Yankees were never that good. They were great, and they found a way to choke. And the Red Sox came back, and it's something I cannot watch. I cannot watch on television. When they throw the 30 for 30 on, I walk around the block. I cannot watch it at all. So this is going to be special tonight. I'll be on the air while it's going on. I love being on the radio in this history. I'll check another box tonight. Being on for Game 7, I'm trying to think about who I want to win. Normally, this time, I fly my American flag, right? I root for Americans on American soil. But all the players are Canadian. So we're not rooting like, it's not like America. It's not like the Panthers have all American-born players. They don't. They're all Canadian. Edmonton, they're all Canadian. Maybe someone can put in the chat, serious, here on YouTube, JT the Brick YT, how many American-born players are playing in this cup? I don't know, but there can't be more than a few. All Canadian guys. So I think that if Edmonton wins, I like to see history in our lifetime. You know, Buster Douglas beat Tyson, right? That was history. I like to be on the radio during history. And I think if Florida wins, you got to give them credit, because they look dead. But they got a home game. That's why you play. That's why you play for home ice or home court. They have that to lean back on, but we'll see what happens here as we open up the show. All right, so here's what I wanted to get into on the false Raider propaganda. So Mike Florio, who's a friend of the show, I like Pro Football Talk a lot. Some Raider Nation hate the guy. Why? The guy gives good content. He's a lawyer. He has really good content. He's on Sunday Night Football. It's the number one TV show in America, and he's the insider. So if you got a problem with Mike Florio or Stephen A. Smith or others, I don't care. These guys are at the top of their game. But all of a sudden today, I'm surfing on the phone after a swim in the pool and the walk of the dog very early, and I see Pro Football Talk's 2024 pre-camp power rankings. Oh, boy. Here we go. There's only been a couple of radio hosts now who have built their careers on these power rankings. It is the laziest thing you can do. But again, this is not directed at Florio. You like power rankings. You do. Everybody does. There are guys now who never would have been successful on radio or TV, but they were taught to do hierarchies. Let's change our opinion every week and have a new ranking of the top 10. I could get a six-year-old little girl in studio, and she could give me the top 10 NFL teams every week. It's that easy. A little bit older than a toddler, but a little bit younger than a 10-year-old can do this hierarchy crap every week. And it's lazy. And it's lazy. And it's so lazy. Right? It's just pathetic. You know, poll questions. I'll throw out a poll question like three times a year if I think it's relevant. But that's not me. Again, I don't do cheeseburger rankings. Imagine driving in to host a radio show and we're going to rank fast food. That's what happens in June and July. August, at least, we have football camp and preseason to get going with that. So today, Mike Florio puts this out, and he's ranking all the teams in football before the start of the season. And again, oh boy. So I didn't start at the top. I went to the bottom. I said, where's the Raiders going to be? And I kept scrolling, and I kept scrolling down and hitting refresh, and I got to number 26. 26! There's 32 teams. Raiders are at 26. And the quote says, Raiders, if they get solid quarterback play, they could climb the ladder. That is tremendous accurate content. That really is. I mean, Mike Florio nailed this in his power rankings. I would have had the Raiders a little bit higher, around 21, 22, because they won eight games. And a lot of other teams didn't win eight games. So I would have had the Raiders where they deserve to be. But, you know, there's a lot of Raider confusion at the quarterback position. Just fans are confused. So it says 26. They could climb the ladder higher. I agree with that. I don't know who the quarterback is. Do you? You don't know. Did you play golf with Antonio Pierce this weekend? Did you ride in the Impala? Did you go to the Raiders Tavern with Coach? I didn't. I don't know who's going to start. Everybody asked me. I think it's going to be Aiden O'Connell in his spot to lose. So we'll see how this plays out. So with everything here, the Raiders come in at 26. Let's talk about the teams behind the Raiders. And this is important because the Raiders don't play many of these teams. Oh, my God, I just nailed it. That's the problem. We don't play enough of the bad teams. We once again have a schedule stacked in some way or form, stacked, that the Raiders got to navigate through. So Raiders are at 26. Titans are at 27. The Giants, where the Giants lose Saquon Barkley and a guy by the name of Darren Waller, who's retiring for no reason, in my opinion. He should play again and collect the $10 million. At 29, they have the Commanders. If Jaden Daniels ends up playing great right away, that could help them. At number 30, the Cardinals. Number 31, the Patriots. Let's stop there. How come this year we don't play the Patriots, the Cardinals, the Commanders, the Giants, and the Titans? Come on. Why are we playing like three out of four of those teams? Second place schedule, I get it. And then the worst team in football, our home opener, the Panthers. Quote, wear a raincoat if you plan to be sitting near the owner's box this year. Who's that owner's wackadoodle? He's crazy. David Tepper. Crazy. So I look at this and I say, who the hell did Mike Florio and Pro Football Talk put ahead of the Raiders? All right, let's go through this list. And if you want to start dialing, it's a caller-driven show. I just want to remind you, it feels and looks like a podcast, but it's not. We'd like to hear from people, 702-365-9200. Let's be rational with the teams and have an honest debate on who should be ranked ahead of the Raiders. At 25, the Jets. What a train wreck the Jets are. They are an absolute dumpster fire, but, you know, they got Aaron Rodgers. So they believe that Aaron Rodgers addition takes that dumpster fire better than the Raiders and the Raiders locker room and their chemistry and their really good depth on defense. But we'll give them a break here because they're buying into Aaron Rodgers. Number 24, they have the Saints. We played the Saints this year. Derek Carr. They were awful last year. Derek Carr is getting a lot of heat. Man, the humidity out there, I know he lives in Henderson still, but there's a lot of heat on them. I think the Raiders on paper are better than the Saints. That's not homerism. I think that's fair. At number 23, they have the Vikings. They're the team that beat us 3-0. We were shut out like a baseball game, 3-0. I think that would have put the Raiders in the playoffs. I really do. I think the Viking win would have propelled them in. They don't have Kirk Cousins. They don't have Kirk Cousins. Why doesn't it say next to Vikings, quarterback issue to be determined? What are we going to do here? We're going to start J.J. McCarthy? No. So what do they got that the Raiders don't have? And here we go. If we had a drum roll, I'd play it. At number 22, the Denver Broncos. OMG, blankety blank. The Broncos? We beat them 8 in a row! We've beaten them 8 in a row! They have nobody. They have nobody. They've lost all their players. They're in a rebuild. It says if Bo Nix doesn't win the week one starting job, it could be another long year for the Broncos. So Pro Football Talk has the Broncos at 22 and the Raiders at 26. Look, there's not much I can do for you, Raider Nation. Vegas, where I live, has the Vegas win total at 6.5. I could be wrong here, and all these other people can be right, and I'm going to get slaughtered in social media. But then again, it goes away in 3 days. When I started, everyone was scared of social media. Oh, my God, they put something up. They put you in a bar or doing something. Now, 3 days later, there's a debate on Thursday night. There's an election. People are going crazy around the world. Don't worry about that. They're going to come to me. So they have the Broncos at number 22. At number 21, they have the Seahawks, led by Geno Smith. Aren't the Raiders better than the Seahawks right now with Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins? Aren't they? I mean, are the Seahawks better than the Raiders? I don't see it. I don't. I got the rosters here. I don't see it, but all right, we'll give them the Seahawks. Number 20, the Jaguars. I'm good with that. I'm good with the Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence got the contract. They fell apart down the stretch. They need to prove it was a fluke. Jaguars are a good team. We play them this year. We play them at home. Oh, this one's good. The Falcons. The Falcons break the top 20 at 19. We play them in our only primetime game of the year. Monday night football where the game could be flexed. Hate to say it. Hate to give you that dirty secret. You might not be going to that game if the Falcons stink. They'll just flex out of it. Number 18, the Colts. The Colts led by Gardner Minshew. Oh, right. They deserve to be ahead of us because they beat us down the stretch. But we got Gardner Minshew here. They're bringing back Richardson. At number 17, the Bears. Wow. Last I looked, well, the Bears beat us also. That's the reason Josh McDaniels got fired. He got fired because we lost to the Bears and didn't show up against Detroit. That's why they made a change. They got a couple of new young players, including Bishop Gorman's Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams. I'm all right with the Bears being ranked ahead of the Raiders, but if the Raiders are like 24 or 21 and the Bears are 20, I could live with that. Cowboys, I picked the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl last year. I thought they were great, and they were. They choked in the playoffs. They got the Cowboys at 16. All right, here we go. Everybody, hey, if you're driving, pull over. Pull over if you're driving. At number 15, the Los Angeles Chargers. The 5-win L.A. Chargers skyrocket. Skyrocket to the top 15. Florio and the crew writes, the Harbaugh factor made me want to put them higher. I have a feeling they'll get there quickly. Oh, my God, they're even admitting that they wanted to put the team higher because of a coach who doesn't play. And they want to put him higher because he's popular and he's a good coach. And they think all of a sudden the team's going to be great. Wow, so they got the Broncos at 22, the Chargers at 15, and your Las Vegas Raiders at 26. You want to talk about keeping receipts? I'm going to print about 90 copies of this today and put it on everyone's locker because they're all out of town on vacation. Wow. Then the rest of it's fair. And here's the problem. We're playing all these teams, and this is why those who are down on the Raiders are down on the Raiders for this reason. We play all these teams. At number 14, the Steelers. Oh, they got Russell Wilson. We didn't want him. It's only $1 million. $1 million. We didn't want him. Okay. At number 13, the Rams. We play them. They're pretty good. I thought they did pretty good also in their draft and offseason. That's a home game for the Raiders in L.A. against the Rams. And number 12, the Browns. Oh, my God, we play them in what I believe is a make-or-break vibe game. It's the weekend of the Biletnikoff Crab Feed. Get your tickets now for the Biletnikoff Crab Feed, please. At number 11, the Dolphins. We play the Dolphins in Miami. Oh, my God, all the teams I mentioned in a row. Chargers at 15, Steelers 14, Rams 13, Browns 12, Dolphins 11. The last five teams I mentioned, they're all on the schedule. But, oh, no, at number 9, the Buccaneers. We play them in Tampa. Number 8, the Bengals. We play them in Cincy. Number 7's the Bills. Number 6, the Packers. Didn't we beat the Packers last year? We beat the Packers, right? Just double-checking. Number 5, the dirty, stinking, green, drunk birds of the Eagles. Number 4, the Ravens. We play the Ravens. It happens to be the Ravens' home opener after they're coming off 9 days of not playing because they play the opener in Kansas City. Number 3, the Lions. Number 2, the 49ers. And number 1, the Chiefs. And we play the Chiefs twice. So that's it. There we go again. I think that's a good topic for the show. Well, what's the topic? The topic is you getting beat up as a Raider fan before you wake up in the middle of the night when this stuff gets posted and you're just thought of as afterthought. So I don't know what you want me to do, everybody. All I can do is bring you this. I call it propaganda. I call you this. It's propaganda. It's Charger propaganda. The Bronco one got me. I'm sorry. I thought the Chargers at 15... Okay, if you're drinking the Harbaugh Kool-Aid, all right. Probably I would have put the Chargers at 20. Yeah. You're going to put them ahead of the Raiders. Fair enough. I get it. It's Harbaugh. The Broncos at 22? Come on, man. If I'm wrong, please call me and tell me if I'm wrong on the Broncos. We've won 8 in a row. And the Broncos because of Sean Payton. This Antonio Pierce has got some good locker room material, man. He really does. Because you can say, well, you know, I don't like the quarterback position for the Raiders. I don't love it. I'm okay with that. That's fair. That's why we're getting beat up. But they're going after the coach now. They're going after your coach, Antonio Pierce, who's a Super Bowl champion as a player. He brought in his mentors, Tom Coughlin as a consultant, Marvin Lewis as a coach, along with Joe Philbin. Good coaches all over this team. And the coaching staff, I'm surprised they're not ripping the coaching staff more because they're so in love with Sean Payton and Jim Harbaugh. So that's where we're at today. That is from Pro Football Talk. I made sure that I put on my Twitter feed that I like Florio because a lot of Raider fans are attacking Florio. I said, no, Florio's pretty good. He's good on that. So I'd like to get the phones going on this topic on, and what is the topic? The topic is simply this. Where should the Raiders be in the hierarchy of 32 teams? Give me a real number I can work with. Because I can't work with these numbers. All I can work with is Kansas City 1. Check, I agree. I can work with the Ravens in the top 4. I can agree with that. The Niner Empire at number 2. I'm cool with that. Niners are the best team, maybe roster in football. I don't know how to look at the rest of this stuff. Minnesota, Denver, all of this other stuff. I don't know where to go with it. The Bears, all of a sudden. The only thing I think is accurate, which we better take care of business, is the Panthers are a mess. We get them for the home opener. The Patriots are a mess. The Cardinals are kind of in a rebuild. The Commanders and the Giants are in trouble. The Titans have no identity. No identity for the Titans. But they lump the Raiders in with the worst teams in football. And why is that? And I think I've come up with my opinion on this, which is very strong. They don't know the roster. They don't. They don't know the roster. They have no idea who Nate Hobbs is. They don't know. They don't know who these guys are. And they are just staring at what's written on the whiteboard and what they're reading off the teleprompter, which is the Raiders don't have a quarterback. They won't even give Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew credit to say they're pretty good. You know, remember, Aiden O'Connell was a rookie. They're going to put him in the game, and he stayed the quarterback. And then Aiden O'Connell comes in. He wins a bunch of games. He's a good player. He's got the same numbers as Trevor Lawrence. Identical. We paid $15 million. $15 million. That's it. Total. For Gardner Minshew, they spent $245 million on Trevor Lawrence. They have identical numbers. As in identical. And you don't hear anybody ripping on Trevor Lawrence, but they're ripping on Gardner Minshew, who's a backup. So that's where I'm standing today. All right? 702-365-9200. I get amazed every day if anybody can match my energy on the phones. I get amazed if that could happen. You don't have to be the best. You don't have to be iconic as a caller. You can just call in and tell me today, if you'd like, and I got it all if you don't, where would you rank the Raiders? I would rank the Raiders about 20-21. I wouldn't rank them 26. 18. All right, 18, as Bobby said, in there because of the 8 wins. And when we come back, I'll mention the teams that lost more games than the Raiders, then you can do the math and subtract that. But that's what I got on a Monday. And then it was a great weekend. Earlier today, I appeared on VSiN with Paulie Howard and Matt Humans, and they brought me on at 6:30 in the morning. The show's from 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. Very good show. Mitch Moss usually hosts it. Matt's a friend. He was in there today, and I previewed the Raiders. We're going to play that. About 10 minutes of me doing what you should be doing. I'm defending the Raiders. You should be defending the Raiders. Very simple. The monologue brought to you by The Black Hole. I want to thank Cisco. I want to thank Thor. The Black Hole. The whole crew that came out. All our teammates that were there. They came out to La Casa Cigars. We love it. Did that. Had a nice cigar over the weekend at La Casa. A lot of fun. Mike was there, the owner. Gave me a beautiful cigar for the pool over the weekend. I had a great cigar in the pool, floating around, just like enjoying life, having a cocktail, Modelo, a cigar, La Casa cigars, getting them all in the monologue, PTs, right? Get them all in. And it was a pretty good weekend, but it is hot. Man, it is hot out there, man. I need to get out of here, please. I need to get out of here for a while. I got to. I've been here before everybody. I've been here a long time. I got to get out of here. Just let me get out of here for a little bit in June and July until we stop baking like potatoes and then come back. Let me get in the ocean, either the Atlantic or the Pacific, for a little bit and then come back refreshed and ready to go. All right. Oh, we got good sound from Jeremy Fowler. Coming up next on Minshew versus O'Connell. You want to stick around for that. USA Soccer. We beat a team from Bolivia that wouldn't make the playoffs if they played in the MLS. But that's a good thing. Did you see what happened with Scottie Scheffler in that playoff and those wackos who protested the golf tournament? I'll get to that. This is the flagship of the Silver and Black.
I think AP did an awesome job all week of preparing us. You know, he showed his intensity pretty early on in the week about, you know, how much he wanted this game and how much he wanted to win and what it would take. And I think, you know, it was awesome to see it all come together. I think, you know, it was good few days of practice this week. And then to have it come together like it did, it was, you know, a testament again to AP, to the entire coaching staff, administration, everybody that you know, worked super hard to get us here.
That's Aiden O'Connell, JT, back with you. Brought to you by Raisin Cane's Chicken Fingers. You're going to hear it's the official iced tea of the rapper Ice-T. Raisin Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love. The buttery Texas toast, the best chicken fingers, the coleslaw, everything. My kids are caniacs, and we're proud partners with Raisin Cane's here in town. So the Raiders are on vacation. We are fortifying our effort. We're going to be out there in beautiful Costa Mesa, which I got to check the weather today. But I think it's going to be easy to play football for a little bit, practice, and kind of train in that weather a little bit, even though they got the best training facility in the world. This weekend, I did an event at Raiders headquarters with Orin O'Neill, former fullback, and Zach Miller, former Raider tight end Zach Miller from Arizona State, who, oh, by the way, won a Super Bowl. After he left the Raiders, he won a Super Bowl with Seattle. Pete Carroll got a $34 million guaranteed contract, and he's a financial planner now. He's talking to people about money, which was really cool. So I had a nice Saturday with them, and then just a quiet weekend around the pool, man. This time of year, we're fortunate to be able to cool off at home and God, we were in the pool all weekend just trying to stay wet considering how hot it was out there. Just crazy. So we're talking about the Raiders, the latest anti-propaganda. Where do you think they should be ranked? If you have a phone and a voice, give me a fair number. On 32 teams, what do you believe is fair? You might think it's 30. You might think they're right at 26. But I think most of the fans of the team would like a little bit of a higher ranking. And again, we don't really care much about a hierarchy. We don't. But it's June, and this went out today, and it's a pretty big trending topic all over at Pro Football Talk. Wanted you to listen to this sound from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. I had Bobby flag this as I looked up on TV, and I said, oh, my God, there's a miracle. Yeah. No one was walking on water. They were doing a segment on the Raiders on ESPN, and here's what he said.
There are media photos, and then there are Gardner Minshew Media Day photos. The man, the myth, the mustache, now out in Las Vegas. He's in a QB battle. We have Jeremy Fowler opening up the Fowler Files on SportsCenter AM. What can you tell us about either Minshew's status or overall the quarterback battle?
Yeah, Randy, O'Connell and Minshew in the spring went tit for tat, went after it. O'Connell probably has a slight edge right now based on coming into year two, being more vocal. I'm told he's acting like a starting quarterback, and Devontae Adams loves him, which always helps certainly with the brownie points. But Minshew has come in, shown some moxie. He's already got the offense. He's changing plays at the line of scrimmage, I'm told. He's been good at the off-script stuff. So it would be not surprising at all if both quarterbacks got a start in a preseason game. Maybe they go O'Connell first game, Minshew the second game, depending on how the first couple weeks of camp go, and they'll get a legitimate chance. But we have ourselves a real battle in Las Vegas.
All right, so Jeremy Fowler has a pretty good reputation. Excuse me. Pretty good reputation, and he says that it's a battle. It's a battle. I like what he had to say. I'm around the Raiders a lot more than Jeremy Fowler, but Jeremy Fowler has sources in the building at the highest level, and he believes that it's closer than you think. It's a battle, and I agree with him that Aiden O'Connell has the edge, and Gardner Minshew probably understands 12 personnel and has the ability to change the plays better than Aiden O'Connell in practice if they're doing that much. And I'm not aware of that because, you know, these practices, again, I haven't been to many of them, and they're going to start to ramp up here. So we're going to be at a time here where we look at what they could end up doing with this offense and how elaborate it could be. And then they can run the offense fluently with the quarterback who's better with the two tight end set and 12 personnel, which I think is going to be the key to the year. As you'll hear a little bit later on when I appeared on VEASAN this morning, I said the key to this season is Christian Wilkins. I know what I'm getting out of Max Crosby. I'm pretty sure I know what I'm going to get out of Christian Wilkins at defensive tackle, but I have no idea what they're going to look like together. What is Patrick Graham going to do with the stunts? How is he going to have Wilkins line up on the inside but stunt around and do unique things and maybe knock the ball down at the line of scrimmage, tackles for losses? Nobody knows that. So for me, the two biggest X factors when I go on all these other shows and I talk about what could be upside for the Raiders. I mean, you don't expect me to sit here and go on other shows and say the Raiders are going to suck, do you? How am I going to pay for the pool I was in all weekend, even though it's paid? How am I going to do that? I got to say the Raiders are going to do well because A, I believe it. B, I'm a season ticket holder. And C, the biggest thing, Captain Obvious, if you haven't heard me for more than 20 minutes, want the Raiders to win every game. But the X factor will be Brock Bowers and Christian Wilkins. If Bowers comes in with 73 receptions and 11 touchdowns or 9 touchdowns, and Wilkins goes to the Pro Bowl, which he should, and becomes an All-Pro, that changes everything. Bowers will win a game that we're not expected to win because he'll have 2 touchdowns and 111 yards, and you'll be like, oh, my God. And then Wilkins will end a game where the Raiders are supposed to lose. The Raiders are down 24-19, and Wilkins blows up a play. There's a fumble. The ball's out. The Raiders get it and score. Maybe 2-3 plays later, and the Raiders win a game they're not supposed to. That's all I got. I don't know 6.5, 7, 8, 9 wins, whatever it is. The way that they could get more than that is they have to be able to find some X factor in this. And everybody believes the X factor has to be the quarterback. Well, then good luck defending that if you're a Raider fan. We don't got Joe Montana in that building. We don't have Rich Gannon yet in that building. I don't know what we got. We got a good fourth-round pick who was thrown into the fire in Aiden O'Connell, who's a good player. He's not mobile. The ball comes out. He's good. Is he above average? I can't say that. He only played a little bit as a rookie, a little bit more than I expected. because the coach got fired and Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. So we'll see what he can do. But I know what Gardner Minshew can do. I know that Gardner Minshew can run no huddle. I know he can run for first downs. I know he can throw on the run. I know he's got big energy, and he's seen defenses more so than Aiden O'Connell, and he should be able to change the plays if need be. But here's the last thing. I don't know what's going to happen with Zamir White. This is where I'm going out on a ledge because that's where the fruit is. Okay, you go out on a limb because that's where the fruit is. And what the problem I'm having now is that a lot of radio hosts and analysts and the guys and gals on TV who host NFL Live, they know nothing about Zamir White. They don't even know where he went to college. He went to Georgia, national champion at Georgia. But they don't. They think Josh Jacobs is still the Raiders' running game. They brought in Alexander Mattison. He's pretty good. I think he can get you 80 yards in a game and a touchdown. I think Zeus can get you 130 yards in a game if it's a big one and a touchdown. But it's tough to go out and defend the Raiders' running back room because it's not led by Derrick Henry. It's not a running back room that is led by a superstar at the position there, which is okay. But Brock and Zeus reunited again, two champions there, should help them be a little bit better on offense. 702-365-9200 as we open up the show. So I'm going to get into some of these games. I'm going to tease some of the games that we're going to be looking at for honorable mention coming up. Honorable mention for what I think is going to be the top 10 games that aren't going to make it into the top 10. Because I'm trying to wait with Bobby and figure out when we want to go in on that because we're going to begin that program on July 8th. July 8th is when we're going to begin that programming on the top 10. And on July 8th, we're going to start with the honorable mentions and go down that list and try to get rolling there. I'm going to figure out which games are going to be going that way. So we're going to start off with a little bit of a tease with that. Stanley Cup, if you got the winner tonight, sound off like you got a pair. Let us know if you have the winner. I'm going to go with Edmonton. I think Edmonton 4-3. I think it'll go over. I think these guys are going to be playing faster, stronger. I think the ref's going to let them play more. God forbid you're a referee in a Stanley Cup final and you call a slash or something that you shouldn't call or something light. I think the game will be conservative in the beginning and then will fly. Also breaking news, the Chiefs expected to release Isaiah Bugs after his arrest. The defensive lineman been arrested multiple times in Alabama this offseason. Bugs was booked on a domestic violence burglary charge in Tuscaloosa on June 16th. That came after he was charged May 30th with two misdemeanor counts of second-degree animal cruelty. Two dogs allegedly under his care, a pit bull and a Rottweiler mix, were found to be neglected and malnutrition. The pit bull had to be euthanized. So that's your Kansas City news of the day. Bugs, 27, played two seasons for Alabama, was selected by the Steelers in the sixth round in the 2019 draft. He played three seasons for the Steelers and two for the Lions before joining the Chiefs in January as a practice squad player. They re-signed him to a futures contract, but he's now gone. So that's breaking news today in the NFL. 702-365-9200. You can jump on our YouTube stream, and when we come back, you can watch us live and what we do during the breaks with everybody who's in there. Top of the hour, I'm going to go over the weekend. I thought it was amazing. The Scottie Scheffler golf was great. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. Outplayed Caitlin Clark, and Angel Reese, I believe, plays the Aces on Thursday. We'll double-check on that. Also Thursday, we're only doing an hour show because this station's going to cover live the NBA draft. NHL draft, coming up. And then the Sphere is going to have the NHL draft, which is going to be interesting. A lot going on this week with the NHL, the Stanley Cup, what's happening at the Sphere, and the NBA draft. And then NBA Summer League right around the corner here as we get rolling. So when we come back, also my appearance on VSiN today, the Gambling Sports Network, on the Raiders win total, 6.5 or more. What do you got there? I'm currently being shut out here. I'm at zero. So we're going to dig out of this hole and keep going on the other side. 702-365-9200. Q's having a great vacation. Vinny's been in for him. Morning show. We're rolling on the flagship of the Silver and Black.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Ooh. It's been great, man. I think we both put together a good camp so far, man. Been pushing each other. But also just enjoying each other, enjoying our room, man. We got an awesome room, not only with Aiden, but with Anthony and Carter. Like, we're having a ton of fun right now, being very competitive, and I think that's only going to make our team better.
Fuel, turn it up. We need some type of Metallica energy on this show. We're in the dead zone of sports radio. I'm not dead. I do my best fighting through this month or two. Get out of here for a few days. We're heading to Costa Mesa. I'll be hosting this show live from Costa Mesa a bunch. Thrilled to be back, an honor of mine to do the pregame, to do the preseason on radio. Jason Horowitz will go to TV. I'll go to radio with Lincoln Kennedy. Eric Allen, I thought that went pretty well last year. We called some big games in Dallas. Had a lot of fun last year doing that. And this home schedule is going to be great to have the Dallas Cowboys and the Niners in Vegas preseason. I'm hoping the guys are going to play in the preseason. The only guy, look, I don't want to say this because I don't want Max to text me because he listens and said, did you say I shouldn't play? I mean, Devontae and Max, I don't need to see. Don't. Kind of really need them. We really need them for the Harbaugh brothers. We open up at the Harbaugh brothers. So I kind of need those two guys. Everybody else, you got to play. Got to see you out there, man. You got to play. Got to see the linebackers out there. I got to see the corners. Got to see the quarterbacks. Got to see the running backs. I've got to see the tight ends. We're running 12 personnel. We better not be running with backups. I want to see the starters in there, and let's get this thing moving. Let's get it going and be excited about that. Excited to see what this team does because, as you know, every game counts in a big way. Every game counts. Preparation is very, very, very important for this team, and I expect them to be able to show up and hit the ground running because they got to win one of those first two games. One of those first two games really could change the whole look at the season and the coverage and those two games. The Charger game will feel like a home game. It'll be mostly Raider fans, fact. And the Chargers are going to sell some more tickets now with Harbaugh there in town, but not many. It's a massive stadium. They don't have any of their fans from San Diego. There are going to be some new Harbaugh fans there, which is great. You hire Harbaugh, you should get some new fans. They'll be able to do that. But Antonio Pierce has more fans and family than Charger fans in L.A. You got to go in there and get the crowd going behind the Raiders and get rolling here in a big way. The other quick thing I wanted to say, this blew me away today. I woke up today, Kristen West Oakland texted me, and then I went online and I saw, following months of speculation, the Oakland Airport Hilton Hotel on Hagenberger near the airport is closing after 50 years. Wow. San Francisco Chronicle, just in. The Oakland Airport Hilton will close its Oakland Airport location in August after 56 years in business, where Mr. Davis lived near the end of his life. I've been in that hotel and had rooms there well over 100 times, hosted the Commitment to Excellence Awards. And this is funny, this tweet. I didn't know John Fisher owned the Oakland Airport Hilton. Look, I don't want to turn this show into crime and the people up in Oakland, because I love Oakland. Never wanted to leave Oakland. I commuted for 17 years. Yeah, did you hear that? I commuted. I supported Oakland with my own money. Raiders paid for some expenses, but I was up there in Oakland in the bars and restaurants. I was supporting Oakland as a commuter for 17 years and had great memories at the Oakland Airport Hilton with Raider fans and Raider players. And another thing, with the Raiders gone, with the Warriors gone, driven into the ground. A business going out of business. Do you know how hard it is to close a hotel, which you can walk to the airport? You can walk to the airport from there. All the pilots, everyone on the staff of an airplane that travels stays at the Oakland airport. It's hard to go out of business if you're an airport hotel, literally on the grounds off the runway. Every pilot, stewardess, everybody who works there wants to kind of just stay there, so they got to get on a plane the next morning. Really close to the ballparks, close to everywhere, and cheaper than staying in downtown San Francisco. You stayed at the Oakland Airport Hilton, you get on Air BART, you go to the BART station, you're in San Francisco in 30 minutes. You can get up to Napa quickly, and they're going to lose that. Wow. And again, to keep politics out of my mouth on this is hard. Hard. Especially what's going on up there now. Wink, wink, with the political leaders in Oakland that have driven that city into the ground, the politicians. Now, there's going to be crime in every city. There's going to be mishaps everywhere. Oh, crime's down nationally. Crap, stop. I don't care about your synopsis of crime. There's some big crime going on all over the world, not just Oakland. But the Oakland Airport Hilton going down? Oh, my God. I love that place. Yeah, I've stayed at nicer places. The Piedmont. I've stayed at the Top of the Mark where I got engaged. I've stayed in some cool spots in the Bay Area, Napa. But my go-to was the Oakland Airport Hilton. Going down and having breakfast with Tom Flores on game day, going back after a Raider game, hosting the post game in the sports bar there. Oh, Bobby, if I could do a podcast on how many nights after a Raider game, setting the alarm to get out and get back to Vegas, but spending the night there, rolling into that bar with Raider Nation. Great memories, man. I'm talking great memories that are a big backdrop of my life. My wife and kids as toddlers staying there overnight as I'm doing the pregame show. That bummed me out today. I wonder what the real story is. It's hard to not have an airport hotel. Those things are pretty much, it's easy kind of to run that because there's just too much business. But what a shame we don't have that problem here in Vegas with Las Vegas International Airport, as I call it, the Las Vegas International Airport. Love picking up people there. You know how you pick up people there? Passenger pickup. Nine pole. That's what I tell everyone who comes and visit me. Text me when you land. I'll be there in 15 minutes. Passenger pickup at the nine pole. Why the nine pole? I say, just go to the nine pole. It's good luck for me. Picking up my buddy Tony Cambo today from the Fillmore. 30 years as a roadie. Staying with me for a few days. Get in the pool, everybody. Enjoy the day. The DeCastaverde Law Group. Proud partner of our show.